Fang Bang.
Hello, and welcome to Fang Bangers Podcast. We're chaotic, horny friends rewatching the chaotic, horny HBO series True Blood. I'm Elise.
And I'm Melissa.
This week, we're discussing Season 2, Episode 7, Release Me. This episode originally aired on August 2nd, 2009. It was written by Rael Tucker and directed by Michael Ruscio. And this is a little summary. Sookie realizes there's a spy involved with their plan. She tries to reach Bill, but he's being held by Lorena. In flashbacks, Bill's conversion to a less violent lifestyle is revealed. When Steve learns Sookie's true identity, he makes the connection with Jason and assumes he's a spy. As they begin to wreak their vengeance, Sookie is saved by someone she has yet to meet. Back at the hotel, Jessica and Hoyt decide to sleep together. And I put a little eyes emoji in that in there. Back in Bontemps, Sam manages to escape courtesy of a drunken Andy Belfler. Any plans he may have had for getting even with Daphne are overtaken by Marianne, who has her own plans for her acolyte. I would never have written the word acolyte. Yes, I'm doing a live commentary on the wiki summary. The rest of the revelers have no memory of what happened the night before. So, Melissa, first impressions.
I loved your summary, for one. And for two, I mean, obviously this episode is great. They're all great. It's Season 2 of True Blood. It's a joy to watch. But doing the notes for the podcast and trying to consider this episode on its own, it just makes me realize that this episode, I really feel this maybe a little bit last week too, but it's so strangely paced in terms of like the overall stories that we're getting. Like, I don't really get why this episode ends with Godric saving Sookie instead of like when Sarah suits Jason. Like, that's a bigger cliffhanger in my mind. I really,
yeah, because like, is Jason dead? Like, I have no idea. Like,
yeah,
we don't know. And
we're making a big deal out of the fact that Sookie and Godric don't know each other, but like, we know him.
Yeah.
So like, as the audience, it's like, yeah, if he's there, he's not. We think he's a good guy because Eric worships him. So
I like debated on whether we could say that it is Godric, but we do know it is because we saw Eric get turned, and that's the same actor.
Yeah, we saw his tattoos.
Yeah, I just like forgot because I have this interesting brain.
I think it's fine to forget, but I think it's silly for the show to forget that they showed it to him. They showed
I guess like it's a cliffhanger to Sookie, not to us. Like, that's the part that feels stupid.
Yeah, it just
I mean,
on that cliffhanger later.
Yeah. I do agree that the pacing is a little bit weird. It feels like they crammed in a lot of stuff, but we don't really have like a lot of. It's all very continuation of what's going on. Like, I don't feel like it was very, like, the biggest revelation to me was that, you know, Hoya and Jessica are going to bang. Which I'm very excited about.
Not tonight, but they are.
Yeah. And it's like, I like that it had nothing to do with the rest of the episode, but, like, they still gave it to us. That made me happy.
It is so funny to me. It was really making me laugh that Bill and Lorena are right there, and Jessica's just in her own little Jessica world, like, trading virginities with her first boyfriend.
I know, it's so cute.
Too cute.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, what is Jessica gonna do to help Sookie? I guess
indeed,
she can tell.
Indeed. Yeah. She could at least be scared. I mean, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, at least she's not scared.
I know what you meant. So since we are talking about Jessica, and it doesn't really have a lot to do with the rest of the episode, I figured we'd talk Hoyt and Jessica first.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Hoyt is a 28-year-old man who is mortified that he has never had sex before. And Jessica is like, big whoop, neither have I. But as soon as he said his age, I became really, really aware of like the fact that she's probably 17.
Yes, yes.
So it's cute and I love them, but also That's a little eye-rolly for me. But I'm going to choose to pretend that that's not the case. Because she's a vampire.
Yeah, it's definitely something to put a flag in. You know, they're both virgins, so that's great. And yes. She drinks blood. So it yeah. just seems like that gives her like a couple years at least. So I'm just
yeah, no, that's
to pretend
fair.
That this is
I'm
fine.
Not like, you know, like, oh, I'm not watching the show anymore.
No.
But
no
it was
one
just
could
like, it's just, I forget
so
about it occasionally.
Yeah.
I was really hysterical when Hoyt said that he was worried people think he's some a bisexual gay or something because he's not had sex. And I'm like, okay, but like sometimes, like, you know, people just don't have sex. It's fine.
Yeah, and that's, like, not exactly what those words mean.
Oh, yeah, no. The fact that he said
it's
so
okay.
weird.
It's okay, Hoyt.
Yeah.
You're... he does make a point to be like, it, you know, I have no problem with them.
Yeah, and
I
believe that that's true,
but I, real bad.
Still, but I still think it's so funny that he says a bisexual gay or something. Like,
yeah.
It just is very... Someone who... has never had a conversation about, like, any sort of queer issues before.
Yes.
Which, 100%. Like, why would he? He, you know, it's probably yeah. has nothing to do with his life. Oh, I just wanted to say that I absolutely loved when they're talking about their lack of experience. And Jessica's like, what, just because I'm a vampire, I'm a slut or something? Like, implying, because like Hoyt assumes that she's had sex, and he was like, you could never be a slut or something along those lines, and Jessica's just like, I totally would have been a slut if I could have gotten away with it. And I'm like, that is the most relatable shit I ever heard
it
a teenager
so,
say.
So relatable. I used to be really into, like, I don't mean I just want to be, I, like, just want to describe, like, an aesthetic and not, yeah. like, make a judgment on anybody that has this style. But I used to be really into, like, the, like, stereotypical, like, white trash, like, style. And I like, really thought that I was going to grow up and dress like that when I was in middle school. And it's, like, very revealing.
Yes.
You know, cigarettes, eyeliner. Yeah. So I also... would have been a slut if I could have gotten away with it. And I love how proud Jessica is of herself because of that. And I also like that Hoyt says, just like kind of an aside, like, oh, I don't think really anybody is a slut at all. And I'm like, good for you, Hoyt. Keep that energy. Keep it.
Yeah, I think that that is true. Oh, that's how I feel. Like, I don't think that
yeah.
anyone is a slut unless they want to be. But yeah, I just, it seems like everything that, he may be a little ignorant about things, but I think he's very well-meaning, and everything we've been shown of him is, like, he's just a really nice guy. Yeah. Ever since he told his mom that he's dating a vampire, I'm like, I love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he sets up a very romantic...
Yeah, when she
first
wakes,
sex date for them.
When she wakes up from her sleep, there are rose petals and candles everywhere, and "Bleeding Love" by Leona Lewis, which is a song I love, is
it's
playing.
A song I love.
Yay! I was so happy. It's such a pretty song. I listened to it before we recorded. I remember when it came out, I was like, "Oh yeah, this rules."
Yeah, I had it on a couple, like, mixed CDs I would listen to when I would, like, walk up and down my parents' yard and, like, you know, brood. I'm in middle school.
Yeah, it's a very good brooding song. Kind of scared to see how old I was when it came out. It came out... Oh, this is just not happening. No, it's not telling me. 2007, so...
I was older than I thought I was. Too okay. old for brooding. I should have had it together by then.
No, I didn't have it together then, and I was 25, so. But yeah, Hoyt and Jessica tells Hoyt that she doesn't want to have sex with him for that first night because she says it's, you know, she has to sleep, and it doesn't look very nice when she hasn't gotten sleep, but which we see in the other room with Bill and Lorena, which we'll talk about later. But I just felt, I really like how comfortable she is, and like, she's just like, no, we're not having sex tonight, and like, is not, she just feels comfortable with him, and she could just say what she wants and what she doesn't want, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it is really nice, and she's like, do you want to cuddle? I'm gonna just come in here exactly how I want you.
I might look dead so a little nice. Bit, but it'll be good.
Yeah, don't freak out.
They were such cute cuddlers, although, wait, please take your street clothes off of you.
I know!
That bothered me.
It doesn't bother me as much as that, like, he had the clothes on outside, but, like, they are not soft clothes.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's what I meant more. Like...
Yeah,
I will. The other night, I literally like wore sweatpants to the movie theater and then just like went to bed. And like, that's probably gross to a lot of people because it was on the thing. But you know, I'll eventually wash those sheets.
Some people do feel serious about inside like clothes and outside clothes and bed clothes. I'm not really that way either.
Yeah, I will. I won't like get into my bed with like jeans on or whatever
Well, wait, no,
a button down shirt or whatever. That was wild.
He drove all the way to Dallas and didn't bring pajamas. Come on, Hoyt.
Just wear your underwear. Come on. Although I still felt similar about like Jessica wearing that underwire bra to bed. That was ridiculous. But they're not going to show her topless, so it's fine.
At the time that True Blood came out, I was sleeping in an underwire bra.
Wow. I don't think I ever did, unless I was, like, drunk and forgot to take it off.
Yeah, in my mind, it was, like, more comfortable to me at that time. Now, I can't express to you why I would have thought that, but hey.
That's all right. I slept in a sports bra the other night, and it felt, like, weird. It was really because I was too tired to take it off. There was no other reason. Love it. Would you like to talk about Marianne's nonsense, as I've labeled it in the notes?
Yeah, I would love to. And I would also like to say that when I was taking my notes during the episode, I labeled this section Marianne Maynard shit.
Marianne Maynard nonsense shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So the entire population of Bon Ton is, like, under Marianne's spell, except for Sam and Andy, apparently.
Yeah, and Andy is trying extremely hard to continue to do police activities, which is sort of funny and sort of pathetic. And Bud eventually says, like, dude, we all know that you are not currently being a police officer. Like, you need to stop this. But it's crazy that Andy Belfour, who by our own admission is like the world's worst like police officer and crime solver, and everybody thinks that he is just so foolish now, but he's the only one who is putting together any pieces about this pig, about the fact that y'all are acting crazy. So,
and he doesn't have like Sam's information that stuff's actually that Marianne's shady. He's just coming up with all of this on his own. Like, it's very, he senses something's up. And he's right for once.
Yeah, he is.
This orgy was fucking wild.
It is fucking wild. And whatever happens when Marianne sacrifices someone, we don't know because she gets thwarted. But her, like, claw arms come out and they scoop up Sam's flannel off the ground, and her like weird arm is so weird.
Yeah, it was really disconcerting.
I did not like it.
Okay, but back to the orgy. There were a lot of things happening. This show showed us penis, which I noticed.
Yeah, it did.
Which I always am happy when shows show penis because it's like it doesn't happen very often. They showed a penis once in one episode of Sex and the City. I'm mentioning it because it was also on HBO.
Yeah.
And it was, like, an actor that's, like, in stuff. Like, I know him in other things, like, since. And it's just, I have to find out what actor it is.
I wonder if he wore a prosthetic.
He could have. James Remar, who was in, Oh, yeah, he was in Oppenheimer. He was in He was in, oh, he was Dexter's, like, adoptive dad.
Oh. Yeah. Interesting. Harry okay, Morgan. Good for you. Yeah.
It was nice.
But yeah, I too get excited when there's dick on TV.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity.
Yes.
Movie. Thank yes. you.
There are some sex positions I probably have never seen on television except for porn. So that was also fun. So because after this orgy and whatever, like, no one seems to remember anything of what happened. I mean, Terry doesn't remember. Arlene doesn't remember. Arlene thinks maybe she raped Terry. That's how much she doesn't remember.
Yeah, that's awful.
It really is awful. But I also feel like feeling that way would feel terrible. Like, if you didn't know happened.
Yeah, like, that's, like, mostly what I mean, too. Yeah. Because it's, like, you know, it's worse for Arlene in this situation. But, like, even for Tara, she's, like, really bothered by the fact that they can't remember it. And Eggs is like, oh, Marianne's weed is strong. And, like, basically saying that, like, he regularly does not remember his activities after smoking Marianne's weed. And it's like, you don't find this suspicious. And I know that we think that Eggs probably has been in and on all of this the whole time. But it's like, this feels like too big of a red flag.
Yeah. Because, like,
I'm, like, surprised that Tara's like, wait, like, you black out off of one joint regularly and you think that's normal. And we also found, like, a disappeared memory of yours that included, like, a bloody sacrifice rock. Like, what are you, like, thinking, sir?
I can't believe if he just, like, I think he's really freaked out by what happened at that rock. And so he's just, like, in major denial right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I'm a stoner and my memory's shit, but not like that. Like, I remember yesterday. It's like, that is not normal. That's, like, something that would happen from, like, real drugs.
Yeah. And yeah. And Tara says that he was on the right track, comforting her, saying, like, if you, you know, if you don't want to smoke anymore, that's fine. We don't have to, which, like, that, obviously, I'm not arguing with that at all.
Of course.
But him saying, like, oh, just because you blacked out once doesn't make you your mom. And, like, obviously, I'm not Tara, but I was like, I would be very mad that he assumed I thought that. Like, no, I'm just unhappy that, like, we apparently did drugs that regularly make you black out and you just think that that's, like, cool and normal. But she's
this doesn't have to be as severe as, like, my mom's problems, but, like, let's not pretend that this is fine and normal.
Yeah, or just, it's just, like, her own anxiety about, like, her, you know, personal experiences, like, making her worried that, like, one joint made her black out. That's not normal.
No.
Like, I would say even if it's your very first time.
But I feel like if it's your first time, you're probably not going to feel that much anyway. So, like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, that wouldn't, I don't know. I just feel like it's bad.
Yeah. And it's bad. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things he's, like, telling her, like, it's not bad. Don't think about it too much. Like,
yeah, and I can't tell if, like, we're supposed to find him suspicious or in denial. I mean, by the end of the episode, we clearly see that he does stuff for Marianne that he doesn't know about. So, like, I think that he's just being used, but it just feels like in that moment, you, like, don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Laz, like, assumes that he's, like, completely in on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't remember what episode that was that we talked about it. But I don't know if I think that or not. I mean, I just find him very suspicious now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I do think he's genuinely freaked out about, like, yeah. So here's what I think is, I think he's genuinely freaked out about, like, the blood rock they found. But he's complicit up to a point, but that point is too far. You know what I mean? Like, getting somebody, like, under Marianne's spell for her is already, like, too far, even if you don't know that she's using that spell to, like, sacrifice people.
And, like, it does feel very much, like, different from, it does feel different than the Sam and Daphne thing, but only because Daphne seems to be very well aware of what she's doing.
Yes.
And we do find out that, like, Daphne's been with Marianne the whole time.
Yes, it's so dark that Daphne is, like, Sam, this sex with me and you is so good because it's the first honest sex you've ever had in your life. And it's like, it actually wasn't, though.
Yeah, she really did a number on him. Like, we saw how he didn't open up to Sookie and Tara last season. He is extremely private, and, like, because they had this common ground of both being shapeshifters, he felt like, okay, we're on the same level, and I can, like, confide in you. And he told her so many things that he's never told anyone, and he really let his guard down with her, and it was all to get him to Marianne, because she likes to chase things that get away, which apparently is the one reason he can not be under control or something.
Oh, I thought that was the reason, like, why Marianne was, like, so fixated on him.
I think I got the impression it was both.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe I misheard, but I felt like because he got away from her, she's fixated, but also that's, like, why. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're right. The reason she can't control them is because they're shapeshifters.
Yeah, okay.
I forgot about that.
Because I was going to say, like, I mean, I would buy it if it's like, oh, if you're, like, if you have the willpower to, like, break out of her spell once, like, that loosens
your
hold on you.
Yeah, I think
I
just conflated two things.
In subsequent times. Like, I think that that is, like, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, we get a lot of, like, Maynard info from Daphne when Sam is threatening to shoot her with a gun. And she's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to die, it sort of makes it seem like she's sort of not explicitly, but maybe alludes to her dying before, because she says that she would do it a million times, and she's, like, very cavalier about it.
I think that Daphne is also put here to just give us a lot of exposition about Marianne and her power and, like, her powers, which is kind of funny. Like, she's telling Sam, but I felt like we were getting into like Tarantino movie, where, like, I don't know, Kill Bill's one of my favorite movies, and, like, the second movie Bill just, like, goes on this, like, very long monologue, and it just felt very similar. Not like the topics, but, like, so she basically goes on about Marianne, and I kind of, like, tuned a lot of it out about, like, the specifics. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like the notes you have in the episode are pretty good. Like, when we see the people with black eyes, it means that Marianne is, like, animating them, and she's driving them, like, and I quote, little tiny remote control airplanes. And she brings out people's, like, emotions, and she can channel their emotions, and she can control their emotions. And she is immortal. And Daphne says that she's God.
She's God. Like, she's God, dum-dum.
Dum-dum. Yeah, so that line reading was a little too much for me, but it's okay.
So I don't really know a lot about, like, Dionysus, the Greek god.
No, neither do I.
But Dionysus was, like, the god of winemaking. This is from Wikipedia, folks. Don't at me if it's wrong. Orchards and fruit, vegetation, fertility, festivity, insanity, ritual madness, religious ecstasy, and theater. So apparently Maenads were the handmaidens of Dionysus. So that fits very well.
Yeah, it really
all
does.
The stuff that
But, like, Dionysus is the god, not the Maenads. So.
Exactly. They're a handmaiden, which, like, I don't really know what the actual, like, definition of handmaiden is.
It's like
a female servant, basically.
Like a servant, secretary, office manager.
So I've just learned that handmaiden and handmaids are basically the same thing. I never watched A Handmaid's Tale, so I don't. Moving on.
Yeah, I'm not going to get started on that. That's not a show I finished. Okay.
Anyway. That's fair. I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, Arlene thinks that she, quote, date raped Terry. I feel like date rape is not a thing that we say very much anymore.
No, it isn't.
We just call it rape now.
It
was just really that exact terminology, like, took me back. Like, it made me feel like the show was kind of dated. Especially with how Tara reacts and says, like, how is that even possible? Like, I couldn't tell if that was Tara assuming, of course, Terry would want to have sex with Arlene. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I got from that, which is, like, not how I would, I think most people would react to that now, or most people in our circles anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, like, sitting here saying it was, like, horrible. It just, like, it made me think, okay, this was from 2009.
Yeah. Yeah, because we definitely wouldn't use, like, the qualifier for this plot.
Yeah.
But I think it just, you know, Arlene and Terry are extremely cute, and I do, like, hate a little bit that this plot is happening, like, to them, because it's, like, another layer on, like, Terry's PTSD, because he has intimacy issues, and I think that those two things, like, go hand in hand
for sure
quite frequently, and so that's, like, a real part of his characterization and, like, a real traumatizing thing that just happened to both of them. And I think it mostly serves to, like, say, like, hey, I know it's fun to watch an orgy, but actually there's some consent issues here. And for Tara to be like, wait, now a bunch of people don't remember last night. Like, what the fuck is going on here? And so,
if anything, that helps her realize that it's not her going crazy. Like, this is happening to a lot of people.
Yeah, she's definitely, like, she's putting together, like, something about the fact that her and Arlene both don't remember anything about last night. And Lafayette meets Eggs and is like, no.
Satan in a Sunday hat, which was a Letty May phrase, wasn't it?
It's what Tara says to Eggs about, like, Marianne's whole deal.
Right, but she said it's a phrase her mom says.
Oh, like,
the phrase from her mom. I didn't mean it was about her mom.
Or just that, like, her mom, we didn't hear her mom say it. But yeah, I think.
Correct. She said her mom used to say it or whatever.
Yeah. So it's fun.
I just like when things come back like that.
Yeah. And that it's coming back about what, like, Marianne's whole deal. Yeah. And Tara said that it's what you say when something is, like, too good to be true. And it's like, that's Eggs also. It's Marianne's house and her lifestyle and her live-in boyfriends for you to date. Like, Tara used to know that this was weird.
Yeah. She used to not let people stay at Sookie's house for, like, 5 minutes.
No kidding.
So Andy comes into the bar and is basically like, I saw every one of you act like devil zombies last night, and they all think he's crazy because none of them remembers shit. Except for Sam, who's like, wait a second, I need to... He's like, you know, at the beginning of next episode, like, Sam and Andy are going to be having a conversation.
Andy's having this meltdown. And again, it's just like, this actor, I think that I just really like the way that he does acting, because I just, like, enjoy the way that he's saying, he's calling them, like, devil worshippers and, like, zombie woman. Just, like, his voice is so recognizable, and I just, like, I don't know, I just love this stuff. But I just think it's crazy that he is the one that knows the most about what's going on here. You know, except for Eggs, who maybe knows or doesn't know or knows somewhere secret, like in a little drawer somewhere. But I also thought it was notable that, like, Andy's telling kind of a variation of the story that Tara was telling when Andy was like, no fucking way.
Yes, the pig and the, like...
Because they didn't believe Tara when she saw the pig, she ended up in this trap. And now...
Yeah, and I feel like if Andy were, like, not, you know, a hot mess, he'd actually, like, find Tara and be like, okay, well, let's talk about the pig.
Yes.
Leads me to think, like...
I remember this pig.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just... Yeah. And the last thing that happens in this storyline is that Marianne decides she's donezo with Daphne. And this is where I think that Eggs doesn't know that much. Eggs is possessed. He has the black eyes. And he kills Daphne. And he's not... Because he had the black eyes, he's not going to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary.
It is scary.
Especially because it's like... This is only episode 8, or no, this is only episode 7 even, and there's 12 of these. So, like, what, how much further does Marianne get to, like, go before right. someone like, hopefully like takes her out.
Right. I don't think that this is like a spoiler, but I feel like there might be a couple episodes where like maybe they're just focused on Dallas and then we come back. I don't remember though.
My like assumption, and I don't remember how this shakes out, but thinking about the episodes and like what might be left in the plot, my assumption is sort of maybe that like Marianne is going to kind of have free reign in Bontom until the vampire, like until Bill and Eric can come back from Dallas.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like, okay, now, because who in town right now can do anything to Marianne?
Yeah.
It's taking Andy like every single one of his marbles to even come to the conclusion that like something is for real, like not right.
Right. And didn't when Marianne show up, she specifically was like looking for Eric or something? Like, wasn't she looking for the vampires? Or is that something
that's in the book?
In the book.
Oh,
that's
okay.
In the book.
But that's like a good hint, I think.
That they are going to be around when they wrap this up.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, the vampires, they're in Dallas. Apparently, Eric called Lorena to thwart Bill so that he could have Sookie question mark.
Yeah, I can't
That's what
tell.
Lorena thinks. But Eric is out here talking about how Sookie ain't shit to him, so...
I don't believe him, though. Like, I feel like...
I don't really,
either. I don't think he wants, like, Sookie to be his or anything. I did air quotes there for those who are not on camera or seeing me on camera. A thing that I realize I do way too often, and I think I get it from my boss, so we need to curb that habit. Anyway, I think that he doesn't... I don't think he wants, like... to be like girlfriend boyfriend or whatever.
Okay.
But like I think he's curious and like there's something attracting him to her and there's something that attracts Bill to her and like we don't know a lot about Sookie except for that she could read some people's minds. Like, is there something else going on there? We don't know. So I feel like he just wants to know more about her in general and thinks Bill will be in the way of that.
Yeah, it just seems like this Lorena plot is like really overpowered if he just like wants a telepath on staff.
Right. I do think it's like, I don't think it's like he wants to fuck her. I don't think it's like, I don't think he just isn't like, oh, let's get married. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he wants to have like a relationship with her that's like monogamous. I think he just wants to play around and see what's up there.
This is sort of jumping around, but I mean, I think it can just flow right in, which is that like Eric is at least like asking questions around, like, because he asked Isabel, like, basically about her relationship with a human. So he's at least like testing the waters.
It's interesting because it kind of almost parallels the conversation Sookie had with Hugo, which I think was in last episode, asking how it was dating a vampire. Although I don't think that we can trust anything Hugo says.
No, not at all.
Going forward. So we have while Lorena has Bill, I guess, like, unable to leave the hotel, we get flashbacks of probably soon after the flashbacks of the previous I don't know if it was last episode or the episode before where they were showing them.
I think
like,
it was
that...
last episode.
Okay. Well, it seems like around the same time, you know, Lorena's rocking the same thin eyebrows. And you see Bill just sick of everything. He's sick of the violence. He is sick of not feeling anything. Being a horrible person, I guess.
This is so Vampire Diaries.
It really is. And, like, it's very different from the flashback that we saw before, but it's very similar to the other flashbacks we saw last season, where he's just like, that's not who I am. And he basically threatens to end his own life to get to leave her, because he doesn't think that she'll let him any other way. it's pretty dark.
Yeah. And it works, you know, she does release him. In the flashbacks, like, he says that he tried to love her, but he doesn't love her, and, like, he can't love her. And it's like, horrible that all of this is about, like, whether or not they love each other. And, like, when he's saying these things, and he, like, clearly wants to evolve and, like, needs to find some other way to live his life, she's like, no, you have to stay with me. So, I mean, it's sad for Lorena because her depth of feeling only goes, like, so far past herself.
That's not, like, love anyway, like, forcing someone to stay with you. It makes the whole reason of why she's there in the present confusing. Like, we know she's there because Eric asked her to come. Like, we know that's the reason. Yes. But I can't imagine what she thinks that she's going to get out of this.
Yeah, or if, like, or why. Why she was willing to come do this in the first place.
Like, she's already released him.
You know, and it's maybe it's just, like, the Marianne thing, which is just, like, Bill doesn't want to be with her, and so she cannot let this go. But that's a sad way to live your, especially your, like, immortal life.
I do wonder if how Bill will react to Lorena saying that Eric wants Sookie. Like, I don't remember what happens with that information.
Yeah, neither do I. I mean, obviously, he knows that. He brought you here to stop me from helping Sookie.
I really was laughing, though, when Eric was, like, acting like what you said earlier, when Isabel's, like, asking him about Sookie, and he's just like, what are you talking about? Like, it was very...
I have no interest in Sookie.
Yeah, it was just okay, really... just really weird and funny. One thing I found really interesting was that neither Isabel nor Eric believe that Godric could have been, like, put in this church against his will. Or without some sort of, like...
Yeah.
Suspect.
Supernatural, like, help. Yeah.
Yeah, and so... And Eric's first inclination is that it's that guy Stan. I think he just, like, doesn't like him. But I, like, I don't remember who was, like, if there was a vampire involved. I mean, I'm sure we'll find out. But, like, I'm very curious where that's going, because I don't remember. That's a lie. I do remember, and I'm going to talk about it in the spoiler section.
Okay, yeah, I mean, he thinks, like, the Dallas vampires are, like, orchestrating the disappearance as, like, part of a power grab. And because he just does not believe that somebody could have taken Eric. So, Eric, he doesn't believe that somebody could have taken Godric. Yeah. So, and he's, like, very upset because he says, and I quote, if Godric is gone, nothing will bring back what I've lost. And he has a little tear, a little blood tear coming out of his little eye. And it's so sad, Eric.
I know.
But, like, he's off. We're going to see. Like, Eric's going to respond to Sookie's fear, even though it was...
Earlier, we haven't talked about Sookie yet, but Sookie, like, calls for Barry. Can, you know, find my boyfriend. But, like, obviously, Bill is held up a little bit, literally.
Yeah, I was happy to see Barry again.
And then Barry, like, gives the message.
And that's so smart, Sookie. And then,
I know, it was really smart. And then Eric hears it and just busts out of that room so fast. That would have been a good cliffhanger, too. Better than the one we got.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, all we have left to talk about is, like, the Sookie stuff and the stuff that's going on at the church. And do not think that she is very smart going down there and screaming for Godric. You are on an undercover mission.
I mean, the cat's out of the bag at this point.
I know, but it's just like,
I got you.
I would at least try to, because you don't need to scream for Godric for him to hear you. So
yeah,
he
that's fair.
You
could have just, like, set it at a normal volume.
Yeah, and I would try to avoid letting the church people know what I know.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, she's, I wouldn't want to. Anyway, it just seems so silly. Godric.
I feel like she's, this, like, is the case in, like, every mystery series I ever read now is, like, when they're serials, I mean, like this one is. Like, the main character just, like, gets in, like, the stupidest, makes the stupidest decisions.
Yeah.
Like, some guy tried to kill me, I'm gonna go walk alone at night, like, that kind of stuff. And it's just, like, you just have to, like, pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. This will be the last time I'll accuse Sookie of bad detecting.
No. I am not saying, like, let's not make fun of it. But, like, it's just, for my enjoyment, I just have to be like, oh, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, and it is fine.
Because she's like,
Bill's, oh, my God, Bill's going to be here, like, soon, because I got scared. And I am sorry because it's... Mostly I'm sorry about this thought because this episode actually does devolve into the threat of sexual violence. But, like, as soon as Sookie was like, oh, my gosh, Bill is going to respond to my fear soon and I'm in peril. And I, in my mind, I'm like, I know he's not coming. What, Sookie, are you going to make out with Hugo now?
That's horrible.
I know.
I love you.
I feel bad.
No, it's funny.
But yeah, I mean, she's worried because she knows that they're going to burn a vampire. They're going to, like, she knows they're going to kill Godric. And she's like, it's going to, like, start something, basically. I don't want Bill to be here.
Yeah. But also, like you said, like, they shouldn't know that her boyfriend's name is Bill. Like, you shouldn't say all these things out loud.
Yeah, I just, silliness. Anyway.
So, Jason and
maybe
Sarah.
Thanks, Lorena.
Jason and Sarah... they have had the sex.
They have.
Anna is crying because she's so happy. She is. Clearly she's never had an orgasm in her life before right now. that is the only thing. Like, she's like, we have to tell Steve right away, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, girl, you are just too horny because Jason is not someone you should be marrying.
I'm obsessed with her being like, my marriage is over in my heart, basically, from 5 seconds
ago. Oh, yeah,
ago,
that's fine.
When I loved it. It was so funny. And then, you know, I broke my vows to my husband, but I'm not going to throw all my beliefs out the window.
But I do love that in order to, like, make that whole thing, like, slow down, Jason's like, well, let's not ruin everything at the church because God comes first. I was like, God, Jason, comes you first. Are... I was so proud of him.
Yes, for, like, and him stalling. Being like, we can't admit to this because he has so many guns. We're going to be locked in the church with all the guns. Like, yeah, it's, no, we can't.
No.
The cut immediately to Jason running with his bags, like, the next time we see him, is so funny.
I love when, like, Steve is obviously furious at him because he thinks that he's a spy because his sister is there, and that Jason thinks that he's in trouble for sleeping with Sarah. Like, the fact that they are not on the same page as each other is, like, one of my favorite comedic devices, like, in all
Me
of,
too.
Like, television or books or movies. Like, it is so funny every time. I love
and
it.
And that
so
is
much.
Just so Jason to have this misunderstanding.
Oh, totally. Totally. His life is a misunderstanding.
Yeah, and then Steve is, like, talking to Sarah, and he's like, I need to talk to you, and, like, it's important. It's about Jason, and she thinks it's about the sex, but it's still about the sister, and, like, they're just getting caught up all over the place, and you just shouldn't have affairs in the church, like, on the lock-in day.
Have your affair outside of the church, please.
Yes, exactly. We skip this, but, like, we find out that Hugo's the traitor.
Yes.
Because he starts telling Steve Newland every freaking thing, Sookie's whole entire name.
Yes.
Her government name. Sir, you are undercover. Yeah, so that's bad. He's the traitor.
Yeah.
That's going to be really embarrassing for Isabella, sorry.
I know, I feel really bad because Isabella's really hot and really cool.
Yeah, she should have just turned him into a vampire.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Isabel. Oof.
Yeah, like, so, it's a whole mess. Everybody is, like, everybody's fighting.
Yeah, Gabe becomes a rapist.
Terrible.
Yeah, Sookie's in a very shitty position where Gabe is, like, choking her, and I'm not gonna describe it, but there is an attempted rape.
Yeah, it is.
It's bad.
Sexual violence. And you're in a church basement. Like, I mean, we already know that these are, like, the most depraved people on earth, but...
Yeah. Anyway. Gabe was a really punchable person to me. Like, I'm really glad that, yes. like, you know, how that ended. Because I know that's not, like, the end, because... but, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Godric is, like... I'm here. He's broken out of his coffin or box or chair.
Wherever he was. Like,
whatever the church was doing to him, he has broken out to rescue Sookie. And that is the cliffhanger. And also, though, Jason running away runs into Sarah and she shoots him. Jason trusted you, Sarah Newland, Anna Camp.
That should have been the freaking cliffhanger. I'm so angry.
I think so, too. But, yeah, the cliffhanger is Godric rescuing Sookie, which I just think is so weird. I just find the cliffhanger so weird.
I think that exciting. I want to put this at the bottom. I hate it.
I'm fine with that.
Like, Bill biting Sookie during sex as a cliffhanger is better than this.
Yeah. I mean, because I don't even feel like it's not a surprise that Sookie gets. There's just, like, nothing about this that... like, gives me, like, the good cliffhanger juice, because we know who Godric is, and Sookie wasn't dying, sorry, like.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it going on the bottom is great, and then.
So, it's number 17 now, just under okay. Bill biting Sookie during sex from episode 106.
Perfect. Hopefully we get some, like, high, exciting Godric cliffhangers, because we do love that character.
I mean, I don't think we have any character intros this week, so I think we can skip that.
I don't think
that.
So either.
Who would you pick for most chaotic?
My most chaotic is, it's Marianne, of course, because she's getting, like, the blanket award for this season. But specifically, her dripping blood all over Sookie's floor and touching her furniture with her dirty, bloody hands and just, like, her dirty, bloody feet in general, like, it's just a horrible form. It's terrible. It's chaos incarnate.
I co-signed that one, so yes.
Yeah, so who is most horny?
I would say Sarah Newland. This girl has never had sex so good. I actually almost put her down as most chaotic because of how she wants to tell Steve immediately. Yes. But she is talking with her vagina in that moment, so it's horny. It's not as much as chaotic.
She's all the way horned up. My most horny is Jason's horniness for running away from the church immediately, as soon as possible. He is so thirsty to get out.
That's funny. So spoilers, I was gonna mention something that I think happens later in the season, but I don't entirely remember.
Okay, it's a spoiler.
Yeah, this is a spoiler,
a real spoiler. So
yeah, this isn't like, goodbye, this happened, bye. Didn't Godric, like, give himself over?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. This is not a spoiler, but obviously those people have probably already tuned out if that was something they didn't want to hear. But in the book, isn't his name Godfrey?
I am very behind on my reading. To be honest, fine. Very.
It's like
behind.
This book is really hard back. This book is a lot harder to, like. We don't get any of the Marianne stuff really, because, like, the book follows Sookie and Sookie is in Dallas.
Right. Right.
So a lot of that part is, I assume it'll be implied later. I have no idea. Anyway, was there anything else you wanted to mention about the episode before we close up?
I don't think so. I mean, fabulous. No. Okay.
Well, where can people find you? On the interwebs.
You can find me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd at Mellow Yellow.
Fabulous. You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendy. That's C-H-I-C-K-E-N. I don't know why I spelled chicken. Like, people wouldn't know how to spell that. T-E-N-D-I. You can find my other podcast, Podrates, a Deep Space Nine Rewatch podcast on Blue Sky and Instagram at Podrates. That's W-R-A-I-T-H-S. And wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks very much to DJ Empirical for our theme song. You can find the pod on Instagram and Blue Sky at FangBangersPod. And email us your chaotic, horny thoughts on True Blood, please, to FangBangersPod@gmail.com. I'm Elise, and my blood type is some kind of bisexual gay or something.
And I'm Melissa, and my blood type is having no interest in Sookie.
Bye.
Bye.